Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action. Hour number two here from the South Point Hotel Casino. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin, betting sports, watching basketball, keeping an eye on hockey, baseball, all over the place as well. And we're about to talk some NFL, which is always fun. Kelly, let's update everything first.
We've got primetime golf going on
and
this
golf
week.
That's
a
right.
Beautiful thing. Yeah, I'll run through everything here. In the NBA, Bucks with an 18-12 lead. Here at, we still, coming up to the end of the first quarter, 4 minutes still remaining in the first. Live numbers, Bucks, 7.5 to 8 point live favorites. I'm seeing about 213 to 213.5 as a live total. We are end of the first period in the hockey game. Lightning still with that 1-0 lead over the Islanders. Lightning about minus 280, live, and Islanders plus 225. And 4.5 your live total on that game. Cubs still with a 2-0 lead over the Mets, bottom of the sixth. Cubs minus 550 live, Mets 4-1, and 4.5 your live total. Braves with a 2-0 lead over the Cardinals, bottom of the sixth inning. Brewers and Rockies scoreless, that game just getting going, bottom of the first inning there. Reds and Padres scoreless in the top of the first. Yankees still with that 3-2 lead over the Blue Jays, that is in the bottom of the fifth inning. No live numbers currently posted. Astros still leading the White Sox 3-0, bottom of the fourth. If you wanted to get in live on this game, White Sox plus 625 and 8.5 is your live total.
Matt, I want you to look at this game in Buffalo here between Toronto and the Yankees. You tell me that's not dark up there? Marcus Semien at the plate now. I think I'm looking with squinted eyes through the darkness. Runners at second and third for the Jays in that Blue Jays-Yankees game. Bottom of the fifth. Blue Jays making some noise, trying to overcome a 3-0 deficit, already 3-2. A knock here would put them in the lead. By the way, U.S. Open, just to update, and we'll talk about golf a little later on. Again, Russell Henley, the leader in the clubhouse, 4-under 67 today for Henley. A one-stroke lead over both Francesco Molinari of Italy and Rafa Cabrera-Bello of Spain. They both shot 3-under 68s today. And in terms of golfers still out there, Richard Bland is the only other golfer who is one stroke back. He's through 12. He's 3-under for the tournament. Louis Oosthuizen as well, 3-under after 9 holes. And then Thomas Dietrich also 3-under through 8 holes. So pardon me. So a whole bunch of guys knocking at the door now at 3-under. That just shifted on my screen. And then really at that point, those are the only golfers out there right now that are in that range. Everybody else is 1-under or worse. Bezuidenhout and McIlroy, who we just mentioned earlier, were knocking at the door. They have fallen back a bit. They are 1-under for the tournament. By the way, Bryson DeChambeau, we should probably go through some of these names. Bryson DeChambeau out on the golf course right now. He is 3-over for the tournament. 3-over or 2-over through 11. I looked up, maybe it was 2-over through 11. So DeChambeau having trouble right now on his round. DJ 1-over for the tournament through 10. Patrick Reed also 1-over through the for the tournament through 10, or for the day, I should say, the first round through 10. JT finished his round today 2-over, a 2-over 73. Just going through some of the big names. Jason Kokrak, who I know, Matt, you had some plays on, 2-over 73 for the day. And then here some of the others. Jordan Spieth, 2-over through 10. I have him to miss the cut. Victor Hovland, now we get into the names that are guys in the clubhouse that just had bad days. Victor Hovland, 3-over, 74. Tony Finau, who a lot of guys had here at the network, 3-over, 74 on his first round. Corey Connors, 3-over, 74. And then it continues to get worse. Colin Morikawa, 4-over, 75 for his first round. Phil Mickelson, a 4-over, 75 for his first round. Justin Rose is 4-over through 10, so it's not going well for him either. And then Webb Simpson, everybody. Webb Simpson on the day, just to scroll all the way down, 8-over 79 on his first round at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, Jason Kokrak with a very colorful scorecard today for me. not a ton of steady play going on out there. But if you want to see a fun scorecard, head to whatever your site of choice is and take a look at Matthew Wolf's scorecard.
Yes.
Because it is a thing of beauty. It is, Kelly and I always love Sebastian Munoz's scorecards because they look a lot like what you are seeing from Matthew Wolf in this tournament. It was a day for him for sure.
It was indeed, and we'll. I was just about to say the same thing. Justin Ray will give us the context for it here momentarily. Just a reminder: it's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin on VSiN's Primetime Action. Glad you could join us tonight. It's Bucks 20, Brooklyn 12. 2:47 left in the first quarter. Trending under, not fun for our wager. Certainly not for mine. You've got plenty of basketball left for yours, for your over. Justin Ray, who always puts out great tweets about the sport of golf, at Justin Ray Golf, speaking to your Matthew Wolf comment, Matt, there have been more than 15,000 U.S. Open rounds played the last 40 years. Only one has had 8-plus birdies and multiple double bogeys or worse. Matthew Wolf today.
Man, it's good to have him back.
Five pars. That's it. Everything else was colorful.
I love me some Matthew Wolf. I couldn't quit him. Remember last fall? I think Matt Brown had to sit me down and talk to me at some point. I couldn't quit Matt Wolf.
So he goes birdie, par, birdie, birdie, par, bogey, double, bogey, birdie, 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 bogey, birdie, birdie, par, double, par, par.
It all
was
over
an awesome round.
Just all over the place.
And he was doing this on the scoreboard just all day, to the top, back down, to the top, back down. It was amazing.
I wonder, as he's going through that, what he's thinking to himself the whole time. Like, just mentally, just what in the world?
I don't know,
you
man.
You got to just laugh at yourself.
Yeah. Right? And he's like, kind of, he's a little brash and arrogant. So I don't, like, that. I always wonder then how, like, you're probably feeling yourself big time when you got a couple birdies in a row. And then it's like, oh, like, how does he feel after a triple or a double? Or is it just like, well, that's me. I'm on to the next hole.
DJ, bit of a shot here at birdie to get to even. Nope, couldn't do it. It's playing like a U.S. Open, though. That's for sure.
And that's why, like, I think anybody, I would say anybody three over or better, I would not write off.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it yet. If you got guys anywhere in that range, I wouldn't worry. I guess I've got a couple at exactly three over. I guess I'm a little worried about, but that's more. It was tough watching Vic and Gary Woodland today, where they started off, they got to like 2 under, and then it was just ticking down, tick that bogey, bogey, bogey. So that was rough. But yeah, you're right, Matt. I think there's, and especially some of these guys at the top, they're not staying there. Russell Henley does do well on some tough golf courses. I love playing him at Honda Classic and stuff like that. But I mean, the reality of guys like him, Rafa Cabrera, Bayo, I mean, Richard Bland, Thomas D, these guys are not going to be remaining there for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, no. That said, I got two guys lingering, and I'm going to need two people to play well tomorrow.
Having said all that, I still need some help.
Yeah, having said all, I mean, I've got Koepka and Schauffele. You know, but they're the only two that are.
I got Koepka. I'm heavily invested in Paul Casey for this tournament. He's at 1 under right now. It'd be really nice if he could maybe make a couple more birdies before the end of the night here.
I made one wager: Brooks Koepka plus 1854. He's 2 strokes back. I love my position. In fact, I love that he's 2 strokes back. I may bet him even some more.
I got your one graphic made, Gil.
Thank you.
All of Gil's golf bets.
I want that font even bigger.
All of Gil's golf bets.
That's one right. Guy. One guy. I don't do this 9-outright thing. Just give me one. It's my guy. By the way, Rory with a chance for birdie to get to 200. Nope. Sailed it by on the right side. So he remains at 1 under for the tournament. Okay. NFL. Let's do this little project, Kelly. I'll let you run the show here. What are we doing?
Yeah, okay. So I figured we'd do some predictions from you guys on the NFL season upcoming, and we could look at them, do them here in late June, middle of June, and check in on them before the season, and then maybe check on them later in the season. So we're going to start with your guys' top sleeper teams heading into the season. So I think teams that people can look at as maybe to target betting early on in the season, maybe betting on the futures boards. I'll let you guys explain yours, but we'll get started with Gil's.
I didn't go too crazy here. So anybody's reaction will be like, oh, really, sleeper, Gil? There was nothing bottom of the barrel that I considered sleeper, but I got five here. I got five on it. Washington football team. I think they're your NFC East champions with that defense and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now they have themselves a quarterback. I think if you can call a team that won a division a sleeper team, it's the Washington football team. I think they're only going to improve. I love the season win total over. I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to surprise some people. I didn't consider them to be nearly as bad as their record last year. I think that football team, we like to make fun of their defense. I thought their defense really improved last year, to be quite honest with you. I think they're a sleeper team to make some noise and to flirt with a playoff berth in the NFC. Chargers, what will the removal of Anthony Lynn do for those guys? The sky is the limit. We actually get to see what all of that talent can do for the Chargers. I think they're going to be slept on by some people. Dolphins, I was big on them last year. I keep thinking about that stat, Matt, that you talk about with Tua and the fact that he had the least separation of all his receivers last year. Gesicki leaps to mind, as well as his wideouts. I think the Dolphins are going to have a good season. I think Tua is going to surprise a lot of people in the AFC East. I think they will only improve. I know Buffalo lurks there, but I think Miami's a playoff team. And I wanted to include the New England Patriots, but because I think we got the worst possible version of Cam Newton just having shown up before that season last year. And I think it's very easy to clown on Cam Newton, but I actually think the Patriots under Bill Belichick are going to have themselves a credible season this year. So those are my five. None of them are bottom of the barrel. I understand that, but I don't know if sleeper is the right term, but I'm high on all five of those. How about that?
We share three teams.
We do.
We share three teams on here. Dolphins, Chargers, and Washington are the three that we share there.
Interesting.
The other two for me, a lot of the same things that you said. Listen, I just think that the Dolphins, with the way that they've drafted, the way they've constructed that team, I think there's, you know, I think there is a pretty decent little ceiling for this team. The Charger, same deal. I mean, like, going from the absolute worst coaching situation that you could possibly have in the NFL to anything is better. So, like, put insert person here on sideline, you know, and 100%. So what can they do? I think that that's good. And then Washington, same thing you said. I mean, listen, it's just there's a couple of key upgrades that team made that I think is very good as far as sleeper teams go as well. And again, from a betting standpoint, love the over on Washington. I like the over on the Chargers as well. The other two here that I add are the Vikings and the Cardinals, mainly because that Viking in the division that the Vikings play in, where we sit right now with the very, very up in the air status of one Aaron Rodgers, and then the way that the Bears are constructed, and the way, like, this division could be there for the taking for this Minnesota Vikings team. So really think that they're kind of a sleeper there to at least make the playoffs. And if, you know, who knows if they, you know, year two out of Justin Jefferson and with Dalvin Cook, if they keep him healthy all year long, it could be a pretty interesting there for that Minnesota Vikings team. And then the Arizona Cardinals. Listen, I know when we crushed Cliff Kingsbury as much as anybody did on this show for some of the decisions that he made. Maybe he kind of understands. Maybe he did some work in the offseason and realized, like, okay, I have to improve here and all that. But look, that's a talented roster, and they've got a lot of good players on that team. I know it's a very tough division, so it's certainly not like looking a, hey, they're going to win the division type thing. But as far as season win total, I think they could slip over that. I think they could sneak over that. And, you know, I think it's one of those teams that could certainly sneak in the playoffs as well.
I like it.
All right, next up, overrated teams heading into the year. Who? It might be their odds are too short. You don't agree with it. Who's going to struggle to replicate what they did last season?
I don't know if the assignment was to give five teams or if you said anywhere between
one
through
five. Because I don't think you should have a certain number that you should feel that way.
I agree. So I came up with four. One, Dallas Cowboys, just because I don't believe the hype. I just don't. And that defense is still until you can show us anything different. As long as you have a defense that way, I don't care how many offensive weapons you have. Dallas Cowboys, to me, are an overrated team. The Las Vegas Raiders. We live in Las Vegas, and I am just so tired of the propping up of this football team who have overdrafted chronically through the years and who I don't believe have a good GM, a head coach tandem. I think the Las Vegas Raiders are an overrated team. I think the NFL wants this team to be good, just like with the Cowboys year after year. And I think Derek Carr is in a very fragile situation there. So I think the Las Vegas Raiders, to me, are an overrated football team. Pittsburgh, we've talked about it many times before. This is Big Ben. Big Ben in the twilight years. Najee Harris is going to help, but I can already picture mid to late season us watching a slew of Steelers games and just saying, this guy can't throw the ball downfield anymore. So the Steelers, to me, overrated. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the Super Bowl champions, but I still believe, and I know many people profited on the Buccaneers, that entire playoff run to me was just a series of good fortune. And I know it's Tom Brady, and I'm not going to dismiss that he was able to exploit that good fortune and capitalize on it. But there was a lot of good BABIP, to use the baseball term, batting average on balls in play. So, and by the way, they sort of lollygagged through the regular season before that. I just think don't be surprised if that team takes a more than significant step backwards. I'm not saying they won't make the playoffs, but I think people from a Super Bowl title perch, I think you can consider them an overrated team.
I listed five. We only share one on this one, the Dallas Cowboys. And again, it definitely goes back to the defense that they have or lack thereof. Look, they can score points. They're going to score points, but I don't think they're going to stop other people from scoring too many points. The Green Bay Packers, for the reason I just mentioned. I mean, listen, if they don't have Aaron Rodgers and you're going to Jordan Love, they are sitting here, and if this was Jordan Love's job, if they were sold on Jordan Love, they would just be like, okay, Jordan Love's the quarterback. We drafted you in the first round. We're going to start you. We're going to trade Aaron Rodgers out of here. We're going to get something back for him, as opposed to like creating this massive distraction that's going on. They don't want to do that.
Yeah, they would,
because they're not sold on this kid. Yeah, I mean, it's like, so if he's not going to be quarterback, then Green Bay Packers overrated to me right now. New Orleans Saints, listen, Drew Brees, yeah, his arm certainly was, over the last couple of seasons, a shell of what it used to be. But what you don't, I mean, the decision making, the experience he gets in there, the leadership that he brings to that team, the respect that he gets from all of those guys, there's a ton of that that goes in, the intangibles, if you will, that he brings to that squad. And now you're going to go to some sort of combination of Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. That's going to be a big step back for this Saints team. Didn't really help. Didn't get any help on the offensive side of the ball either for this Saints team. The Indianapolis Colts, like, everyone's acting like Carson Wentz is the savior here. Like, yeah. Oh, they got Carson Wentz now. Yeah. It's just going to be the same team again. Like, no, Carson Wentz has played half a good season. And we're like, Carson Wentz is going to be the answer for the Indianapolis Colts. Like, get out of here with this nonsense. Like, the Colts win total's way too high. I've played the under on that as well. Like, this is not a good team
they
here.
They almost beat the Bills last year in the playoffs. I still can't believe that. Like, yeah. They were very good last year. I agree.
Phillip Rivers, yes, is exponentially better than Carson Wentz, in my opinion.
I agree.
Like,
from,
I mean,
one season, right? For, like, yeah, we're talking from last season, yeah, to this season. I agree.
Completely. Yeah, for one season. And then as part of my sleeper and my overrated teams, I have the Washington football team on here again as well, because it is certainly the trendy, like, everyone is like, oh, this Washington football team, like, everybody's talking about the Washington football team. And listen, on paper, should take a step forward for sure in a division that they should probably win whenever you compare them apples to everything that the rest of that division has. But if Fitzpatrick wakes up and he's actually old, and if for some reason, you know, I mean, we see this with quarterbacks a lot. Like, they're like, they're good, and then they just fall off a cliff, right? And, like, so if he wakes up this season and decides he's old and you got to go to Heineke or one of these other guys or something like that, then I think they could be in for some trouble.
Yeah, it's not trendy for me. I've spent a lifetime just fading them because I just self-hate. But this is the first time I've been super excited in modern history on them. Right. By the way, the only reason I didn't put the Saints in mine, because I don't know who's rating them to be overrated. You know what I mean? Like, do people think the Saints are going to be anything?
That's, I mean, the win total's like 9.5 or something.
Yeah, I can see both arguments. Yeah. I like, you're right by the win total, but I also feel like I hear nobody talk about him. You're right.
We have
no idea who's quarterback for him. All right, next up, your breakout players to watch. So this could go a lot of different ways, whether it might be rookie of the year bets to look out for some of you guys, player prop totals for the season, maybe daily fantasy guys you think that could strike early. I will let you guys explain, but Gil, you're up first.
Yeah, I was thinking more fantasy than anything, and yeah, this is just kind of like stream of consciousness. One, Terry McLaurin, who's already good. I just think that he is going to go into the stratosphere.
Go from star to superstar, yes, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's got a quarterback. He's got a number two wide out on the other side with Curtis Samuels. I think Terry McLaurin is set for a breakout. The others, Brandon Ayuk, sort of same thing in San Francisco. I think that, first of all, I loved him in college at ASU. I thought he had a good rookie campaign. I think everything he's shown is great. I think that he will break out this year for the Niners as well. Cam Akers, who got, once he got run with the Rams last year with Jared Goff at quarterback, and as the season progressed, really established himself. Now that you have Matthew Stafford back there, I actually think Cam Akers will be both a pass-catching and running weapon in the Rams' backfield. So I think he will have himself a year. And then the other two are defensive, and these are kind of random. One, Randy Gregory, who when he came out first into the NFL, just had unbelievable hype. and really has persevered and is getting another shot here so many years later. I will say this, as much as I don't like the Dallas Cowboys defense, you have to give credit to him. I think he may be in for a good year. Have to include him on this list if I'm being fair. And then just because I have the memory of Luke Kuechly being in the middle of that Carolina Panthers defense for so many years, I'm going to say Denzel Perryman has himself a year as the middle linebacker there in Carolina.
Matt, let's save yours for next.
Yes. There's probably no way I get through it in a minute.
I don't think we're doing that. I'll do some updates real quick. NBA game missed three, so we are 34-21 Milwaukee. 9:30 remaining in the second quarter. Live numbers: Bucks 9.5 live and 211.5 is your live total. The Lightning still up on the Islanders 1-0. Into the second period now, we have about 14:24 remaining.
And Gil, exactly. Just to show how dominant DeGrom is, how he never goes out and gets lit up tonight. Two innings for Brandon Woodruff. The Rockies have five earned off of him already through two innings and gone deep on him twice. And it's just, that just never happens to DeGrom. And he just never gets blown up.
And we should say, because we were here on air when he got pulled from the game yesterday, the shoulder is clean.
Yes.
The shoulder is clean. But day to day, they're obviously going to be very cautious. Still trying to figure out what's causing the discomfort for Jacob DeGrom. But no news is good news on the MRI. We'll come back. We'll continue. Matt's breakout players, who we got in both conference championship games and the Super Bowl as well, on the way on VSiN's Primetime Action.
The action on DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Just download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Don't wait. Sign up now and new customers get a deposit bonus of up to $500. That's code VSIN when you sign up. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Must be 18 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And remember, if you love live in-game action, then download the free Odds Trader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Gil.
Danielle, I want to apologize to you because while we've been yapping about the NFL, You've been rolling through these. What are you now? 4-0, 5-0?
5-0 start to the night. Yeah.
Good Lord.
One baseball, 4 WNBA so far. But I will tell you that Lynx wings right now, both of those are looking sketchy right now.
You got four in pocket already. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Sometimes I got to make up for like all the wins she has with just one video. But the problem is now my language of another primetime winner doesn't work. I got to make a special Danielle one where it's like she's had four since we've been talking.
I feel like she has like 5,000 wins on
this
show.
Running Pure one. Is that what it's called? Running Pure?
Running Pure. Is that what it's called?
That's a Gillism? That's an oldism?
Oh, no.
That's a gambling term.
Like running pure. Like,
oh, I don't
you can just
poker.
Sit at a poker table and like for whatever reason you just run so pure. Like
every
no matter what two cards you get dealt, you just win.
Do you remember when you guys used to play solitaire on the computer and you would win and the cards would go? I want that winner video for when I'm running pure.
Wouldn't they shoot all over the place?
Yeah, that's what she's talking about. Stack.
Yeah. Did you not get what she was saying right there? That's what she said.
You remember solitaire on the computer? It didn't used to have a lot of cool games on it.
Going on. I was confused.
It was back when there was paint on there as well.
Remember when I was questioning that 9 total in the White Sox Astros game?
Yes.
The Astros have decided to score 7 runs in this game already. They have chased Dylan Cease already. This Astros team, again, 39-28 on the season. And they just crush the baseball. And if they can get any sort of pitching, which, by the way, tonight, Urquidy, 4 innings, 1 hit against, no walks, 4 Ks for him. I'm in love. I've never been in love with holding futures tickets ever before in my whole life, but I'm in love with holding Astros futures tickets.
Yes.
Like, in love with it.
And then to your point about the Astros scoring 7, you were talking about how you thought that total was high. Sometimes the best bets are the bets not made.
And I just, didn't pull the trigger. That being also, Blue Jays have come back to take the lead over the Yankees.
Yes, 4-3. Jays leading. Baby Jays. Up 4-3 on the Yankees in Buffalo.
No home run for Guerrero. What a loser. Oh. He does have a hit. He's 1-3. He's only 1-3, too. Loser.
Barry Bonds, you are.
I had somebody on Twitter tail my bets, put the four in a parlay.
Oh.
$200.
Oh.
They won $2,400. Why not me? Why didn't I parlay it? Anyways.
Look at that.
That's how it always works.
I don't even believe in myself enough to parlay four picks like that. Wow.
Danielle's5starpicks.com.
Yeah.
No.
Documented 4-0 on the night.
I guess we should do this since we didn't want to do it because I only had a minute last time and now we've worn these down to where we only have a minute.
Go, yeah.
So my breakout players, AJ Brown, we kind of talked about this a little bit last night. I think the addition of having Julio Jones is only going to free him up more to just go into absolute beast mode. I think that he has all the skills to be one of the top 3 to 5 receivers in all of the NFL. Tannehill actually throws a pretty good deep ball as well, and so I think the sky is the limit for A.J. Brown this year. Najee Harris, he's going to get all the touches. I mean, he is just going to get all of the touches. He's going to, from day one, step in and be one of the bell cow backs in the NFL, and there's just not very many of those anymore, and so I think he's going to put up some pretty impressive stats, all things considered. Pitts, with Julio leaving town, listen, you better justify, if you are the Atlanta Falcons, you better justify taking a tight end with the number 4 overall pick. If you bypassed a quarterback and you didn't reset the organization by that, you better feed this guy, and I think they're going to have to do that. Antonio Gibson, I don't think people really realize, and he was hurt a little bit last year or whatever, but when he was actually healthy and playing, he was electric. And if he can stay healthy, I think he is going to be absolutely fantastic for this Washington team. And then Trey Sermon for the San Francisco. Listen, I mean, the 49ers are a run-heavy team, and they want to run the football. They are one of these teams that weirdly still buys into the whole, hey, let's run first narrative thing. Let's be the power football team. And Trey Sermon is going to be probably the lead back there for San Francisco. And so I think he's a guy that, strictly based off the offense that he plays in and how many touches he's going to get and how they want to run this team, I think he's going to be a guy that we look up, Gil, 7-8 games into the season and go, this guy's got this many yards?
If we put Kelly in the Niners backfield, he will have a monster season, let alone Trey Sermon.
Like Mike Alstott.
Because Kyle Shanahan, doesn't matter who you put back there.
No, he'll scheme it right, and he loves to run it.
By the way, your breakout players, way more fun than mine. Way more fun. We'll come back. We'll do our championship games and our Super Bowl, and we'll talk U.S. Open golf right here on VSiN's Prime Time Action.
NHL and NBA playoffs are here, and our experts are covering every angle to find the betting edges. VSiN hockey expert Annie McNeil is tracking all of the NHL action, and our senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel has all of the basketball insights. Our experts and the entire VSiN team give you all the tools to make the most of every bet on the playoffs, including odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com and our daily members-only best bet emails. Now is the time to cash in on the playoffs. Sign up for your 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil.
49-41 in favor of the Bucks. 3:15 left in the second quarter. James Harden's getting frisky out there, though. He's feeling it. Oh, and the Bucks just got called for. Harden just complained his way into some kind of violation on the Bucks. They call a kick on that?
Oh, I don't know, but I don't know if I've ever seen Brooke Lopez that upset.
Yeah.
He just kind of usually lumbers around and does
his
thing.
Harden opens his mouth, and they immediately call it his way kind of thing.
He is Harden, different guy tonight. He is 5-for-7 for the field, 3-for-4 from downtown, leading the way for the Nets with 14 points.
And you can tell he can't quite get to that, like, top gear, but, like, just good enough to, because he's a top 10 player in the world. So if he's, even if he's at 85%, I mean, that's better than most everybody
else. And the one thing that I've always given him a lot of credit for, I think people have sold him it's not people have sold him short. They just don't like the style of play that he has of shooting threes and getting to the line. Mm-hmm. I think unlike a Giannis and LeBron, who should so easily be able to get to the line whenever they want with how big and fast they are, I've always given James Harden a lot of credit for the art of somehow getting to the line like he does. But this is the when you see a night like this where he doesn't have that burst, you're probably not going to see him shoot a lot of free throws, Matt. But when he can has the ability to be able to sit back and say, all right, I'll be more of a point guard. I can still shoot from the outside. It's like you said, 80% of James Harden is still better than most players in the NBA.
And we're right back where we started. It is, well, basically, at least at one point today, Nets, 6 point. You're catching 6 points with the Nets if you want to play them live right now. Plus 190 on the money line if you think that they come back and win this thing outright.
Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, 4 over for his first round here at the U.S. Open, having all kinds of problems, but he just hit a dime into the green. I'm not sure what hole he's on right now. But DeChambeau 4 over on the tournament. He or through in his first round right here. DeChambeau, I'm not sure what hole it is, but he just hit a beauty right in there as he tries to salvage something.
Kelly, I think this is what we were talking about, right? Like with this rough, like he was big. He's big and strong enough last year to just power it out of there and no big deal. But people talk about, and I'm going to go check this. I'll bring some home, guys. I'll bring home some kukuyu or whatever, so that we
Kukuyu grass.
so that y'all can see what it's all Please. About. Because like I want to see this grass up close, because everyone says like once it gets down in there. I saw early in the round, and Sam Burns has actually played okay, but he, one of the earlier holes for him, he got buried in there at Gill. Sam Burns,
big dude,
big strong young guy. Swung as hard as he could to get out of there. It went about 13 feet in front of him. Like, and so there are some places where if you hit it and it gets buried down in there, you are just, it's basically a penalty stroke.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, that's what our concerns for DeChambeau and Rory, just accuracy off the tee. Rory doing pretty well, though, right now. Just quick hot minute on hot take on golf grass. Seriously, we've got cool names like Poana, Kikuyu, and then who's the lame-o who came up with Bent? Like, you know, like every other tournament, we got to talk about bent grass. And it's like, what? We got all these Bermuda names. And then this lame-o comes up with bent grass. Like, come on.
This lame-o.
Kikuyu.
By the way, DeChambeau on the screen, 4 over. I do have that right, because I don't see him on my leaderboard anyway. Like, I'm just scrolling down. I cannot find him to save my life. But it is 4 over as I look up on the screen.
I don't know where you're looking, but PGA Tour, as much as we give them credit for their stats, somehow their live leaderboard is one of the worst things ever. It's just so far behind.
Yeah. Well, we're looking at it. That's what he is at this point. Shall we get these in before the break?
Let's do it.
Because we'll talk some golf after the break. We'll see if we get some adjusted lines as most guys are through their first round at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, the 121st U.S. Open. NFC Championship, AFC Championship. That's what we are? Kelly, yes?
Yep. We'll get your predictions for the championship games and the Super Bowl.
Are we not doing regression candidates? I thought we were doing. Are we skipping that? We're just going to skip that.
Oh, that's I never fine. Got that category.
Let's go on. Okay. Let's
we'll yeah, skip let's that. Move on to those.
Regression right. candidates. I didn't get that memo.
You did, but it's okay. We'll go on to the matchups.
Okay.
So, Gills, we will start with your predictions.
Oh, we did. Regression downwards, you're talking. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did have those. Yeah. NFC Championship, Rams over the 49ers. Rams just on sheer talent. You can't ever assume that their defense will be as good as it was, but even some modicum of as good as that defense was. I think the Rams are the most talented team in the NFC, and now with Matthew Stafford under center, I think they're the best team in the National Football Conference. I still think the Niners are loaded, and I've got an all-NFC West NFC Championship game with the Rams prevailing. And then the AFC, I know the Chiefs look terrible in the Super Bowl, but to me, they're still, unless Patrick Mahomes is playing elsewhere, they're still my team. And I think the Browns are. This is the year where they flirt with a Super Bowl for the first time in franchise history and fall just short to the Chiefs. And they got a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl, and I got the Chiefs winning it. Super Bowl 56.
I like it. I think we share two teams here. For me, on the NFC side, on the AFC side of things, I have the Bills against the Browns. So I have the Bills and the Browns in the AFC Championship game. I have on the NFC side of things, I have the Bucks and the Rams. So we share the Rams. We share the Browns. For me, I don't know about the Super Bowl. I've got Bucks and the Browns in there. I'm yet to make a definitive pick there. My gut leans me towards the Bucks a little bit, that it might be a tad bit too soon for the Browns, but I might get there on the Browns here pretty soon. Again, just this absolutely loaded the Browns on both sides of the ball. I mean, you're getting back Odell Beckham. You're getting back three. You're getting back two different starters on defense, and you drafted well on the defensive side of the ball as well. I think they're going to be trouble for a lot of people on the defensive side. And so long as the offense can pull their weight, I think they're going to be a really, really, really good team. So, yeah, I got Bucks and Browns, and then we'll see from there.
Oh, didn't go with the Super Bowl?
didn't go.
Question mark. Give me a pick for the winner.
You had one assignment.
No, Matt made a fair point earlier because I was like, can I get a winner for the Super Bowl? He's like, you didn't ask me for it. I'm like, that's actually true. I didn't. I asked for a Super Bowl matchup.
You did. You didn't ask for a winner.
He is playing by the rules. I didn't ask for it initially, I guess, but yeah.
Was that a judge bomb? No.
What happened in this Yankees game, let me just say, Aaron Judge robbed Kevin Biggio of a home run in the previous half inning, went over the fence to rob him of a two-run shot, kept it as a one-run game, and Giancarlo Stanton just went yard. So if you were looking for a Judge Stanton defensive and offensive Kiniella, Ohio line betting term, you got it. Yankees up now on the Blue Jays. 5-4 in that one in Buffalo, top of the seventh. We'll come back, we'll update the basketball game, and we'll talk U.S. Open. We'll try to find you some updated odds and what we're betting right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
The DraftKings Casino app now and use promo code VSiN to get a deposit bonus up to $1,500. DraftKings Casino has hundreds of ways to play. Choose from slots, blackjack, roulette, and so much more. It's also U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available to play in New Jersey, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia only. Must be 21 or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. For entertainment purposes only. No results guaranteed. Void where prohibited. See casino.draftkings.com for full details. Gil.
Okay. 36.6 seconds left in the first half, left in the second quarter here. The total, this is going to be a brutal loss. The total right now is stuck on 107. I believe KD is going to the line. I have 111.5. So if KD is in fact at the line, which he appears to be, I'll need him to make these two, and then I will be exactly three shy with 36.6 seconds left. So 1-3 or 2-2s. Or I'll take a foul, you know,
anywhere
get me to the line. Anywhere
and
get it. KD, just let's sink these two first. 59-48 right now in favor of the Bucks. Bucks first half bettors, you will be a winner no matter what happens here. And KD, of course, rattles out the first one. Of course.
A couple of birdies here on the back nine for the players. It depends on which nine they started on. But Rory McIlroy now 2-under. John Rahm now 2-under. Oh. Hideki Matsuyama 2-under. Oh. So the Masters champion at 2-under. Rory at 2-under. John Rahm at 2-under. Joining Brooks Koepka, who was 2-under. Xander Schauffele, who was 2-under as well. So if we were worried about there not being star power, at least, the star power is there so far anyway.
And KD misses both free throws. But the Bucks come down and miss a three, and yeah, it's not going to work out for me. It's not going to happen. KD misses two free throws. Of course that happened.
Yeah, of course.
For my first half over. So that's not going to work out. So that's going to be a Luhu Zerher. Bucks with the ball, basically only a 2-second difference between the play clock and the and the game.
Watch him like make an impossible shot right now after missing the two.
There's a three from KD. No good. Rebound Bucks, and that's how the half will end. 59-48 in favor of Milwaukee. So the under hits on the first half, and the Bucks hit on the first half against the number. Had a shot. Had a pretty good shot, but then KD missed two free throws.
With the breakdown here, Durant 6 of 15 from the field, 1 of 4 from deep. Actually, 13 points for him, 14 points for Harden, 5 of 7, 3 of 4 from deep for him. Blake Griffin, 11 points.
Man,
in the first half,
4 rebounds. Yeah, man, he's been impressive.
Blake Griffin with 11 points there on the Bucks side of things. Giannis 8 of 9 from the floor. 19 points, 11 boards for Giannis in the first half. So big, big first half.
The biggest thing that stands out to me on his stat line, Matt, 0 for 0 from three.
Good. Don't take him, but
don't do it, Giannis.
Don't take him. Islanders had tied up this hockey game at one apiece, but with 18.3 seconds left in the second period, the Islanders were unable to corral the puck right around the goal, and Braden Point falling to the ice just takes a whack at it, and it gets by Varlamov, and it is the Lightning up again. Call it 15.3 seconds left in the second period. His 11th goal of the postseason. Braden Point.
With a full period left.
Yes.
Plus 335 on the Islanders.
Ooh.
A full period of hockey left. 335 on the Islanders. That seems juicy.
I might want a flyer on
that. I know. I might take a little. Like one in three times? This doesn't.
Fight.
Wait, that's hockey, Danielle.
I feel like we don't get to see that enough, actually. Yeah. When we're on air, I think we miss all the fights.
Yeah. I may ponder that here at the break.
Oh, Craig Kimbrell just kept the quarantine look there. I would never have known that was him.
Yeah, he didn't cut his hair at all. You'll recognize
the beard, the whole nine yards. Like,
by the way, seemingly unhittable again, by the way, Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah.
As opposed to his performance a couple years ago where he just got shelled. Chicago 2, by the way, the Cubbies 2-0 over the Mets as they go to the bottom of the ninth, and the Cubs call on Kimbrell to close it out over the Metropolitans. So we shall see if he gets it done. They go to the intermission after the second period. Tampa Bay 2, the Islanders 1 after that point goal. I think I'm actually going to make a bet on the Islanders that number.
335 seems big for a whole period of hockey.
It's hockey. You got to play that.
You guys go for it.
Let's have some fun. Go ahead. Let's have some fun.
All right, I'll dig into it. You guys get those bets in. I'll start the U.S. Open conversation.
Please.
Here. Updated odds. Now, these are, got to remember, for everybody not currently watching the tournament, or if you are on the East Coast, it's out on the West Coast this week, so we got late golf. What's beautiful about DraftKings and a lot of the East Coast books is they have constantly running odds for this tournament. So we have live odds right now. John Rahm. Plus 550, Brooks Koepka 7-1, Xander Schauffele 9-1, Rory McIlroy 11-1, Louis Oosthuizen 12-1, Dustin Johnson 16-1. Man, where is Dustin at? I'm surprised he's
20-1.
Yeah, he's at 16. They actually just moved to 16, so he must have hit another birdie. Patrick Cantlay 18-1, Tyrrell Hatton 25-1, Patrick Reed 25-1. Paul Casey, 28-1. I hope that means he made a birdie. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 28-1. Russell Henley, who is your leader right now, 28-1. Scottie Scheffler. Then we did have a drop off to the 40s. Scottie Scheffler, 40-1. Cam Smith, 40-1. Francesco Molinari, 40-1. Daniel Berger, 50-1. By the way, both Molinari brothers under par for this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, I didn't even know there was another Molinari brother.
There's apparently two sets of there's Ortiz brothers and Molinari brothers playing in this.
Oh, okay. And A. Ortiz, because I don't even know his first name, he went under par to begin with, and I believe he is now at the bottom of the board. Yes, Alvaro Ortiz, 11 over par. So we're not going to be seeing him on the weekend, I do not believe.
Oh, yeah, he birdied. He started on the back nine, birdied 12, and then...
I was going to say, at some point I saw him under par.
And then from the birdie on the third hole that he played, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 bogeys and 3 doubles.
Ouch. Yeah.
Yep.
So, Matt, I don't know about you, but the... We talked about a couple situations where guys we were going to look to target in the tournament.
Whew, Bryson just doubled. He is 6 over.
He is 6 good. Over. I literally, as you guys were talking, I'm like, am I going crazy? I can't find DeChambeau. And there's your answer, because he's all the way down 6 over.
6 over, man. The only thing I don't like about this for our Koepka bets, I think, because we're all in on Koepka, right? All three of
we
us back here, right?
Koepka. Yep.
I think there might have been a little extra motivation for Koepka if DeChambeau was around the weekend.
Oh, I see where you're going.
I don't like the idea of him going home early. Like, I think there's...
Here's my question.
I think Koepka is one of the things I like the most about him, and he's not maybe the most pleasant individual to deal with in the media. I've been there before with him.
Mm-hmm.
But like Tiger Woods, I've got massive respect for the pure competitor that he is. I think he is a guy that... Yeah, all he really cares about is winning and winning the big ones. And that's so I think this DeChambeau feud, though, I think that gets under his skin a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe he has $2.25 million for first place is probably pretty good to play for, too. That seems like motivation. That seems like motivation, Gil.
I'll tell you.
You know.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I'm going to lean yes.
Motivation enough? All right.
I'm going to lean yes. What I like about this leaderboard, for those of us who have the Koepka futures, is that the golfers ahead of him are Henley, Francesco Molinari, who has seen better days, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and I don't want to minimize Louis Oosthuizen, who is always seems to perform in majors. But you get the idea. It's not like it's a massively star-studded group on top of him. So, now, that said, Xander is tied with him at 2-under. Hideki, as you mentioned, is there. John Rahm is there, and they're still on the golf course at Torrey Pines. So we shall see how this plays out. Would you add more to your Koepka position is my question.
For me, no, to be perfectly honest. Besides the outright, I have one of the larger golf bets I've ever made on his top 20. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good.
I'm good on that end, from that end.
I'm pretty invested in Koepka as well at 18-1, too. So, like, at
me too.
Seven, it's a little tough. I think if anyone, I might be looking to maybe come in on, you know, depending on where these rounds end up for like a Rahm and whatever and all that, like maybe if he slips, like let's say he ends up at even or something today or something, then I can come in like we were talking about on him getting 18 holes of data like we were asking. And then we're not going to get that much worse, you know, because if he slips to even, he'll probably be 9-1, something like that or whatever. So. I'm going to keep my eye on Rahm the rest of the day. That's who I'm looking to try to come in live.
The guys I had circled to try to get in live with for this tournament was Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson, and Patrick Cantlay. Cantlay was more like you talked about him yesterday, Matt, where it was really okay. He's played a couple good tournaments recently, but before that, he kind of looked like trash. So him, I wanted to see something first, and then Dustin Johnson and Schauffele, I couldn't play at their numbers. So those, I'm not in a position where Schauffele's number has gotten any better, but maybe tomorrow. I don't think I'm going to be adding anything today. Is what I'm trying to say. Tomorrow might be the day where I get
T24 right now in the tournament is Guido Migliozzi, who obviously needs to be on the Ron Flatter podcast with all the other guys
about anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be him and Vinny and what are Guido Migliozzi.
Colucci.
Louis Oosthuizen, by the way, as much as success as he's had in majors past, I did fade him in a couple matchups, Matt. I'm looking right now at my last 24 round model, 155th is what he was in my rankings.
Wow.
Daniel Berger 3-back, 1-under quietly. And not listed on our board here, but I'm wondering, what is he?
He was 50. He was 50 to 1. When I was reading
okay.
it off.
That's okay.
Yeah.
He was a guy, a couple people texted me about betting him this week. I'm like, listen, I'm not betting him, but you're telling me Daniel Berger at 50 to 1, I have no problem with that.
Yeah. No respect. 50 to 1. All right. Danielle, what are you, like 10-0 at this point?
I haven't gotten my losses yet, but they are coming. Maybe. All right. Well. We'll see.
Thankfully, they'll come after we're gone, so we don't have to discuss them.
Yes, no loser.
live line's 10 on the basketball game, by the way.
Bucks, 10, live line. We got to run. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, full 3 hours on MSG+. The Nightcap with Tim Murray's next. Enjoy.